We're going to do something a little bit different this month. I'm not sure how many times it's going to last. Probably 5 or 6 different shiurim. We're going to cover not workplace halacha, which is what we typically cover, how to stay observant and halachic in the secular workplace. I'm going to be doing something totally unrelated, a topic that I became interested in when I was in yeshiva almost 30 years ago. I know, a long time ago. I don't look that old. But I started researching it back then, really enjoyed learning the sugya, and it gave me a full perspective and context for my learning. And I've dabbled in that sugya since, but more passively, and then more recently I decided to get back into the topic. I'm still in it, so I haven't completed what we'll be learning over the next 6 weeks or so. Hopefully I'll be able to finish it by the time we need to have it finished. So the topic goes as follows: Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebichsav, and the writing of Torah Shebaal Peh, and with the focus on what is the decision-making process to arrive at a Psak Halacha. Obviously very important topics that we're going to be covering. Why was the Mishnah written? Why was the Gemara written? What were the causes? The societal causes, the halachic causes to write the Mishnah and the Gemara. Even before that, what we're going to cover today is the canonization of the Tanakh. What does canonization of the Tanakh mean? Anyone ever hear that phrase? The compiling, the deciding what would be within the Tanakh, included in the Tanakh, and what would be excluded from the Tanakh. So that's what we're going to start covering today and next week. And ultimately, I want us to come out with a full appreciation, as I said, the decision-making halachic process, and why is there so much machlokis in the Gemara? What's going on there? So this, I think, will give us all a perspective and appreciation for all of our learning. That's why it's very appropriate to be starting out the year talking about these topics. So what we're going to divide up is into basically 3. Part number 1 is going to be today and next week talking about the canonization of the Tanakh, canonization meaning the deciding what's the canon of the Tanakh, what's going to be included, the 24 books of the Tanakh, who decided it, when was it decided, why was it decided. That's going to be this week and next week. We're going to have a related follow-up topic, which will be much shorter, it'll be the 3rd week, talking about a Gezeira, a decree of Chazal, that anyone who reads Svarim Chitzoni, external books, and we'll have to define what that means. Engo chelik lo lam haba, will not have a part in the world to come, a fairly serious downside to reading what we shouldn't. But we'll have to see if that means what that means, and does it still apply today? That's going to be part number 2. And part number 3, we're going to get not to the Torah Shebichsav, that's what's this week and next week, but the Torah Shebaal Peh and the writing of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay, everyone on board? Everyone got it? Okay, so let's start. We have source sheets. Everyone hopefully has the Makoros in front of them. There's a pasuk that we will be coming up to. It says as follows: Kikarov Eilecha Hadavar Ma'od Bifilcha Ubivacha La'aso. So this thing is close to you. It is close to your mouth. It's close to your heart to do it. There's a machlokis among the Meforshim. What is this talking about? A famous machlokis. Is it talking about the entire Torah? That is the view of Rashi, or is it talking about the mitzvah of tshuva? The mitzvah of tshuva, now that we're in Elul, kikarov eilecha davar of meod, repentance is close to you, it's b'fichu b'vav chalasso. So Rashi on this says as follows, source number 2, kikarov eilecha, ha-Torah nitna lachem b'chtav u'be'al peh. It is very close to you. The Torah was given at our Sinai, both in writing, that's Torah shebichsav, and it was given orally, that is Torah shebaal peh. What does this Rashi have to do with this pasuk? Pasuk is saying it is very close to you. Kikarav elecha davar me'od. And then Rashi is saying the Torah was given to you both, Torah shebichsav, written and oral. What's the connection there? Anyone want to venture and attempt to explain this Rashi? Yeah?
Well, there's a parallel between
Bilvacha and Bilvacha. Bificha u'bilvacha, that's a nice word. Bificha, Torah shebaal peh, Bilvacha, more eternal, Torah shebichsav.
There's like a...
I like that.
It's like a logical...
I like that. And what's the Karo Velecha? Karo Velecha. So there's a Sifsei Chachamim that says as follows, if you just read the Torah Shebichsav, is it understandable? Fairly difficult to understand. Just to give a couple of examples, one that came to mind just now, in the Parsha talking about tefillin, what does it say? Vayu la'os al yadecha vayu le totavos beinecha. What are totafot? What does that mean? It should be on your arm, yadech on your hand. It should be between your eyes. What's a totafos? What color is it? Is it square? Is it circular? Is it an octagon? Say something in it? Doesn't say anything of the sort. So that's one example. Rabbeinu Yonah gives a couple other examples. It says, lo sigzo, don't steal. There are kind of a lot of details around that that the Torah doesn't mention. That's all in the Torah Sheh Baal Peh. Another example, this week's Parsha, that Rabbeinu Yonah brings. Ben dam le dam, ben din le din, ben nega le nega. Different types of bloods that we see, that one may be tame with, and one may be tar with, or a nega. Different skin ailments. It doesn't say in the Torah what's what, what's good, what's bad, what's in, what's out. It's all in the Torah Shebeh Al Peh. So the Sifrei Chachamim says, ki karav elecha davar be'od, it's only karav elecha, it's understandable. The Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah is understandable because it was given together with the Torah Shebaal Peh. Without the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah Shebichsav wouldn't be understandable, it wouldn't be very karav elecha, it wouldn't be very close and understandable. It's only because the two of them were given together at Har Sinai is that it is karav elecha hadavar me'od. Okay, so let's go. Source number 4 says as follows, Amar Rabbi Levi bar Chama, Amar Yeshima ben Lakish, the Gemara in Brachas, Hey Amar Aleph, Mai Dichsiv, Vaid Nelecha, Es Luchas, Ha'Evin, Vatorah, Vamitzah, Shekasafti, Lorosam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have given you the Luchas, I have given Luchas Ha'Evin, the stone Luchas, HaTorah, I've given you the mitzvah, that I have written in order for you to teach it. And the Gemara makes a drush, Luchas, Elu, Aseres HaDibros, those are the Luchas. Torah is a mikra. What's mikra? Literally means Hamisha Chumashi Torah, the five chumashes. Five chumashi. V'hamitzvah zo mishnah asher kasafti, that I have written. We're going to get back to this point. Elu nevim uksuvim lahor rasam, to teach at the college. So this is the Talmud. Melamed shekulam nitnu l'moshe misenet, to teach us that all of them were given at Har Sinai. You have a question. What's your name?
Ryan. Yeah, I might not need to be addressed now, but one of the things I've heard, like, as a disproof for the divinity of the oral law is that it says, and Moses wrote all the words which God spoke, which implies that everything that was given was written down.
Oh, we'll get to the drushes in it. This is a Jewish class. This isn't, like, refuting the claims. That's not. This isn't discovery. Anyone who wants to go to discovery, it's down the road. There is one, I think, on August 30th. I was going to go, but I can't make it. So anyone who wants to go, it's at Eshatara. But I can't address that because in the same pasuk, it says something else. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But that's not our focus. But I'm happy to get into it. Oh, no worries. Okay. So when it comes to the Masorah, the most famous Mishnah, probably maybe the most famous Mishnah in all of the Mishnayos is what? First Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Moshe, Kibel Torah. Nisinai, Moshe got the Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, and other Mefarshim, what's Torah? Shebichtav u'shebaal peh, written and oral. Moshe kibbal Torah Nisinai masra limsor le Yeshua. Yeshua was next in command, took over for Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua gave it over to the skenim. How many skenim were there? The elders, the sages. How many were there? 70. Parshas Balosva, 70 elders. Is Kanim le Nevi'im, to the prophets. Nevi'im Asrua le Anshe Knesset Sagdola. Anshe Knesset Sagdola lived when? Any Jewish history buffs here? When was it?
During the second
base of Mikdash. Anshe Knesset Sagdola. We will get back to this because they're going to be very important and a focus of our shir. So Rabbeinu Yonah continues. We're on page number 2. Third paragraph down, where it says as follows: Uskanim le Nevim, Unevim masua l'anshei Knesset Sagdola. This came to the elders, 70 elders gave it to the Nevim. Nevim gave it to the Anshei Knesset Sagdola. Who was the lead, the founder of the Anshei Knesset Sagdola? Who Ezra, thank you. Somebody said Ezra, Visiato, and the whole crew. Nevi'e, Ba'isheni. There was still Nevuah, prophecy, at the beginning of the Ba'is Sheni. So that is going to be our focus. We're not going to talk about Ba'is Rishon. We're going to focus on the Ba'is Sheni and the Anshei Knesset Sagdola today. Last paragraph, right there in source number 7, the Anshei Knesset Sagdola, Masrua L'Anshei Doram, and Anshei Knesset Sagdola, after they returned from exile in Bavel for how many years? 70 years. Came back from Bavel, reestablishing, rebuilding the base Hamikdash. Anshei Knesset Sagdola taught the Torah Shebaal Peh L'Anshei Doram, V'Chachamim L'Bneim Acharim B'Chol Dor V'Dor, and it was transmitted father to son or Rebbe to student in every generation. V'Aisa HaKabbalah MiChacham LeChacham, and the teachings from Rebbe to student Ad. Shenitkabtu kol chachma yishon, so all the chachamim got together. V'nizrika etza mikikulam, and they decided the time is come. He doesn't get into the reasons for it. We will amir to Hashem in a few weeks. Lihikasev Torah Shebaal Peh, that they were going to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. Step number one in writing Torah Shebaal Peh was writing the Mishnah. We'll have to see. Maybe it was even written earlier. Who was the head of the writing, or at least the canonization of the Mishnah? Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. In approximately what year after the Common Era? 200 of the Common Era. The Katvu V'Satmun HaTalmud, and then the Talmud. When was the Talmud written? Talmud Bavli, at least. Approximately the year 500 after the Common Era. The Baal Talmud Yerushalmi was earlier. Where was the Talmud Yerushalmi written? In Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. And Talmud Bavli was written? In Babel. And who's buried in Grants, too? Grants. It's an American joke. Okay. All right. So, question for you. What's the Torah Shebichsav? Hamisha Chumshei Torah. Hamisha, that's what we said. Mikra in the Gemara is Hamisha Chumshei Torah. And what's the Torah Shebaal Peh? Is what was given the rest of the stuff, apparently, right? Everything else was given the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the question is, Nevim and Ksuvim. Tanakh is made up of Torah, Nevim and Ksuvim, right? Torah, Nevim, Ksuvim, three parts. Torah is Mikra, is Torah Shebichsav. Everything else is Torah Shebaal Peh. Apparently, we weren't allowed to write the Torah Shebaal Peh. How were the Nevim and Ksuvim written down? Good question, right? I think that's a great question.
So like the prophecy was received by everyone, but everyone knew who...
Just the Navi received it. Just the Navi received it, not everyone. So how did he write it? You're not supposed to write it. So if we look at this concept of writing down Torah Shebaal Peh, the classic, I'm not going to say classic view, the classic perception is that it was always prohibited to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. Prohibited, right? Torah Shebichtav, written Torah Shebaal Peh, oral. So look at the Gemara, Gittin Samach on the base of source number 8, Darash Rebbe Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, Miturgmei de Rebbe Shimon Ben Lakish, Ksiv. It says in the Pasuk, Shmos Lamedala, Ksov Lecha Esadvari Ma'ela, write down these things. It says to write them. On the other hand, Ksiv, we have a stira contradiction in the same Pasuk, Ki Alpi Advari Ma'ela. What's Alpi? They should be oral. Is it written or is it oral? The same pasuk says it's written and it's oral. Haketzad asks the Gemara. So the Gemara says there's certain things that are written and certain things that are oral. But pay attention to the words. Dvarim shebichsav, things that are written, yata rashai le'omran, I'll pay, you're not permitted to say them orally. In other words, when you're teaching Torah shebichsav, don't teach it by heart, teach it from a text. Dvarim sheba'al peh, things that are oral, i'ata rashai le'omran bichsav. What does that mean? Things that are oral, you cannot say them in writing. What does that mean?
Cannot.
What does that mean? It doesn't say you can't write them. It doesn't say the oral law, you can't write it. It says you can't, apparently, teach it from a writing. Teach it orally, not from a writing. Now, Rashi has a different girsa. We're going to stick with Rashi's girsa right now. And then in a few weeks, we're going to revisit this. So Rashi says as follows, source number 9, where it's underlined. Advarim she'abal peh, i'ata rashai. What's the next word? Likotvan. The word's underlined. I'ata rashai, likotvan. The oral law, you are not permitted to write it down. Rashi has a different girsa, different language in the Gemara. Rashi's telling us you can't write the oral laws. Continuing. Mikan, this is Rashi's. That was Rashi's girsa in that Gemara. Now Rashi explains. Mikan, atalamet sha'atalmud lo nitan lichtov. From here we learn that you are not permitted to write the oral law. Elam ibnei sha'atorah mishtachachat. Only later on when the Torah was being forgotten. I'm going to just accept this at face value right now. At the time of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, that the Torah was being forgotten, Chazal said, we have no choice, we have to write it down. So based on Rashi, that we're not allowed to write the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, how were the Nevim and Ksuvim ever written? Good question, guys, right? I think that's a great question. So the Maritz Chayis, and real quickly, just some of the Svarim that we're going to be using, should have said at the beginning. Maritz Chayis has a two-volume work called Sefer Maritz Chayis, and he talks a lot about the issues that we're going to cover, Torah Sheh Baal Peh, Nevuah, all these interesting things. That's a very important text that we're going to use. Much earlier, Rav Shira Gaon, one of the Gaonim, wrote a Igeres, Rav Shira Gaon, all about the writing of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So we're talking over 1,000 years ago. We're going to use the Rambam a lot. Rambam has a number of works that relate, Hasakdama to the Mishnah, etc. And one of my, if not my favorite, more contemporary book. It looks small, but it's tremendous. It's called the Yisod HaMishnah Ba'arichata by Reuven Margolius. Reuven Margolius lived, I believe, about 100 years ago. He was a librarian in Tel Aviv. I remember once doing a computer search, and he wrote in this database alone 36 svarim. One of the svarim that he wrote is the classic work, one of the classic works on the Masechta Sanhedrin. Margolius Hayam is written by Reuven Margolius. So he has a beautiful sefer on the writing of the Mishnah, and it goes in deep detail. So we're also going to use that a lot. So the Maris Chayis asked this question. He said, how can you write Nevim Ksuvim if you're not allowed to write Torah Shabbat Peh? And he brings the following answer, source number 11. Kevin de Badavar Hashem El Hanavi, because the Navi has a Nevuah, he has a prophecy, Sheyichtov Halachos Eilu B'Sifrei Nevuasav, that he should write down these learnings, these teachings that he has in his Sefer. So he has it, he should write it. He has a Nevuah, it says you should write it. Included in the Nevuah is write down what you're hearing. Even though this is strictly speaking is against what the Torah says, because you're not supposed to write the Torah Shebaal Peh, but he has a Nevuah that you should write it down. He does it. Chayav, jump down the line where it's underlined. Chayav lishmoa miyad. He has to listen immediately. The Mibneze katvu halacha seilu. That's why he wrote down those halachas. That's why he wrote his sefer of the Nevuah now. But once he was permitted to write it, it was permitted to write it down, everyone else is permitted to read it. Because the problem was writing. Once it's written, it's not a problem to read it. So that's the Maris Chayis' answer. Now there's a Rav Zelig Epstein that says, I don't buy it. I don't buy that explanation. Why? Because the Torah is nitzchis, it's eternal. If the Torah says, Torah Shebaal Peh cannot be written, it cannot be written no matter what. Whether you have a Nevuah or not, it cannot be written. Unless the only time that a Navi can abrogate something in the Torah is Horash Shah for a limited amount of time when there's a real need, the Migdar Milsa. So unless you have both of those conditions, Horash Shah for a short amount of time when there's an exigent need, we don't abrogate any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. We can't uproot any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So he says there's something else going on here. There's a different reason why the Nevim and Ketuvim could be written. And he says as follows. He brings a medrash, source number 13, where it's underlined. The medrash in Shmos Rabbah says as follows. The Isa the Shmos Rabbah, Kach Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ksov Lecha Torah Nevim Ksuvim. Moshe was told, don't only write the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, but you should write Nevim Ksuvim also, all the way at Har Sinai, Moshe was told this. that even the Nevi'im Ksuvim should be written. Aval Halachas and Medrash, Agadas, the Talmud, Yal Peh. That all had to be Baal Peh, that had to be oral, but the Nevi'im Ksuvim, originally Moshe was said, it will be written, it's permitted to write it. Hari Mefurash, Teksivas, Nevi'im Ksuvim, Ne'emar, Lemoshe, Messina. So it's clear that the writing, the concept of writing, this is what the Medrash tells us, the concept of writing the Nevi'im Ksuvim was told to Moshe at Har Sinai. It's not that Moshe wrote it down, he didn't himself write it down, but he was told these things will happen and it should be written down. So he concludes as follows, verse number 14, Bishas Matan Torah Nitztavu Ala Ksiv. At the time of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, and the Nevi'im were commanded to write the Nevi'im Ksuvim, Ela Shachamesh Shchum Shei Torah Nitztavu Moshe Rabbeinu Lechtav. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was told, he did it himself, the rest of Nach, the rest of the Nevi'im Ksuvim would be written when the events occurred.
What's the assumption that the Nevi'im and Ketuvim are Torah Shebal Peh? I mean, Ketuvim themselves, he says Ketuvim, they're writings.
We're going to explain why. It's not that the assumption is Torah Shebaal Peh. We'll talk about the name of Ksuvim next week. But the Mikra, what was written by Moshe, is Torah Shebaal Peh. And anything else that came after Har Sinai was oral. And it was written later. So if it was written later, it's included in Torah Shebaal Peh, not Torah Shebaal. Okay, so what I want to talk about now, as an introduction to what was decided should be in and out of the Tanakh, is who the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were. So we started on it before, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, when Klal Yisrael came back from Bavel after the 70-year Galus, Ezra established the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The Rambam in his HaGdolah to the Mishnah Torah says as follows, we're in source number 19, Beis Dino Shel Ezra. This is the Beis Din of Ezra, was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Hem Anikrain Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Who were some of the people who were included in them? Vem Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Nehemiah, Mordechai, etc. It was made up of both Nevim and people who were not Nevim but were Talmidei Chachamim Zakeni. How many people were in the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah?
120.
Lahavdil, what do we have nowadays in Eretz Israel? The Knesset, and how many people, where'd they get the name from? From the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. How many people are in the Knesset? 120. 120. A little bit different, obviously, the quality of people included, but nonetheless, I think the only connection, maybe three connections, the word Knesset, 120, and that they are, actually, no, I was going to say they're Jewish, but not everyone in the Knesset is Jewish. So most of them hopefully are. So what were some of the things that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah did at the time? They instituted the Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei should be said. They wrote the Shemona Esrei. That was one of the things that were done by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Various brachas were instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And one of the things that we will see is that they canonized and decided what's in and out of the Tanakh. The importance of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah cannot be understated. We have to think about Klal Yisrael coming back from Bavel, rebuilding a Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says why they were they called the Knesset HaGdolah, the Great Assembly. Shechziru es ha'Torah liYoshna. They restored the crown of the Torah. They were very active. It was not only a Stam Sanhedrin, Agadol, based in Agadol, but they were very active in bringing back and rejuvenating Yahadus for Klal Yisrael. Question?
I know this was calculated before, but did they establish the calendar as well as the set time?
They did a lot, but I'm not going to get into the calendar. The calendar was talked about in the Gemara a little bit. There were different issues there. Okay, so the Sanhedrin HaGadol, we said, how many people were on the Sanhedrin HaGadol? The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. 120. How many were on the Sanhedrin before that? 70. So why when they came back? Why when they came back from Bavel, Bayis Sheni, did they decide on a number of 120 instead of 70? You look in source number, no source. The pasuk right above 23, parshas Vayelech, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Esfali shivim ish mizignei Yisrael." Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Kol Yisrael is too onerous for me; can't handle it." Esfali shivim ish. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, "Go and collect 70 zakenim to act as the Sanhedrin Agadol. 70 people." And the Sifrei Zuta says in Source 23, Esfali shetei Sanhedrin, Lishmiel Kodesh Baruch Hu says the Sanhedrin should be for me. Komakam shuomer li, whenever it says li, hareze kayam le'ome'ad, that number should be forever, for eternal. Sanhedrin should be 70. And the Ramban has an arichus, a beautiful arichus on the importance of the number of 70. Where else does the number 70 come up? How many nations? The metaphor of the nations of the world. 70 nations of the world, and each has its own official, its own malach, except Eretz Yisrael, that Kadosh Baruch Hu directly watches Eretz Yisrael. The Shoftim, Shofte Yisrael, he says here as follows, why do you need 70 and a Sanhedrin? Ki amispar hazeh yichlo kol hadeos. If you have 70 people, that it would include all the opinions. Biyoso kola kola kochos, and it includes all the kochos, all talents. All kochos and kishronos will be included. They'll be able to decide on every single issue. That's the concept of 70. We also see the Matan Torah, that there were 70 zakenim standing by, and also the Sanhedrin Agadol on Har HaBayis and Eretz Yisrael included 70. So why did we go up to 120? It goes from 70 during Bayis Rishon all the way from Matan Torah 70 all the way through Bayis Rishon 70. Come back, and Ezra says 120. And to add to the question, these Yerushalmi that says that Yerushalmi and Megillah that gives a number that there were 80 v'chamishas came, that there were 85, not 70, like the Sanhedrin, and not 120 like the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah. It says the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah included 85. So what is going on here? So if you look at verse 26. Rav Reuven Margolius in this little sefer Yisod HaMishnah V'Arichata explains as follows, source 26, Hasiba hi, Ya'an, Sha'az Achreish Nosa Golos, after the years of the Golos, 70 years in Babel, Husrechu Lechonen Mechadash, they had to reestablish Hakarat HaMosad HaZeh B'Tor Merkaz Kol Chachmei Yisrael. It had to be reestablish an entity, a governing body, of all the Chachmei Yisrael, libli tes makom le'arer al-hitmachusam, without anyone being able to make a claim as to the ability of that entity to govern. Meaning, if we're going to get together nowadays, think about this, and say, okay, we're going to choose the greatest 70 elders of the generation. Who's in, who's out? What are the chances that we'd arrive at a number of 70 that would be accepted by everybody? Nothing, right? Nothing. Because always number 71, or the followers of number 71, 72 and 73 and 74, to say, hey, we're not going to recognize you as the governing body because you left us out. So the Margolius says that when they came back and they had to reestablish a governing body, they had to do it in a way that it would be accepted by everyone. Lachein hu chruchru az kabel kechavre based in a godol. Kol roshe gedolei hador, they have to accept upon themselves all of the gedolei hador. How many was it? Count it up, make the list. 120. 120 was the list that they had to accept everyone in order to have no one say, we're not going to recognize the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah. Yeah.
You'd think when you're on that level, they'd all have humility to accept being worthy.
Great question. It likely would not be the number 72, 73, and 74, but the followers of number 72, 73, and 74 that would cause the ruckus, not the Rav himself. So it's a fantastic question, and that's I think the correct answer is you're right, but it would still cause problems because of other people not recognizing the governing body. So what's the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Right, we start out with the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Moshe Kibbel Torah Zvina, Tzino Shua, Shua's Kenim, Kenim Levim, Anshei Knesset Hagdolah. They say three things. And the next Mishnah is Shimon HaTzadik, Source number 28. Shimon HaTzadik Haya Mi, famous Mishnah. Shirei Knesset HaGdola. He wasn't a member of the Knesset HaGdola, but Mishiarei Knesset HaGdola. What's Shiarei Knesset HaGdola? What was that? The leftovers, right? Those who were left. Those who were left over. And he would say three things, a very famous Mishnah. He would say, Ashrosh Dvarim HaOlam Omed, on three things the world stands, Allah Torah, Allah Vodav, Allah Gemilus Chasadim. It's the famous Mishnah. Now, what is the difference between the Knesset HaGdola and the Shiarei Knesset HaGdola? What happened there? So Rav Margolius explains, source number 27, Vacharehem. The Knesset HaGdola was established with 120 members. And afterward, Shinikra Chen, it was called the Shiarei Knesset HaGdola, meaning she is Chilu Mpochti Mimeno Mea Vesrim. The number diminished as members passed away. And what they did, that why it was called Shiarei Knesset HaGdola. That was what is left over. As soon as it went to 119, it's no longer the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. It's not the Knesset HaGdola, Shiarei Knesset HaGdola. And the members were not replaced until when? Until they got back to 70. Exactly correct. Brilliant. Brilliant. Let's establish it, make sure that's the governing body, everyone accepts it. And we'll get back to 70 because we need to be at 70. So over time, as the number went down, went back to 70, and then when they went to 69, the members voted and had a replacement come to make sure that it stayed at the number of 70.
Did they get back to 70 during the
They did, yeah. Well, you think about it, people don't live that long. So the 120, it took a few decades until they got down to, not a lot of decades, until it got back to, because they weren't appointing people who had just reached Bar Mitzvah to have Knesset HaGdola. You know, it wasn't, okay, so
did
at the end.
Did they go to 120 or did they stay?
No, 70. They stuck at 70. Yeah. Went down, diminished to 70, shared Knesset HaGdola, and stuck at 70. Now, at the end of source number 27, where it's in bold, V'nitkena Mosar al Yonazeb, this governing, this elite governing body, Hayah Hazeh B'Shem Shiarei Knesset HaGdola, Rav Reuven Margolius says that it lasted Me'os B'Shanim, hundreds of years after they came back from Bava. We're going to see alternative views that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola and the Shiarei Knesset HaGdola did not last very long. So let's continue on that point.
What was it called after it got back to 70?
When it got back, that we'll talk about in a little bit. Once, it may not have been at the same time, but after the Anshei Knesset HaGdola went away, it just became the Sanhedrin HaGadol. It got back to the regular Sanhedrin. It wasn't more. It was no longer the strong political guiding body, but it became the Beis Din HaGadol. That's what it became, with less powers like that. So the Rambam in his Hakdama to the Mishnah, this is a very important Rambam. Source 29 says as follows. The Mos Yeshua, when Yeshua passed away, Master Leskeni, Master Kibel Ma'at Peirushim. So the Yeshua passed the Torah Shebaal Peh to the Leskenim. Umashinit Chadish Bizmano Veloya Abba Machlokas. And also included in the Torah Shebaal Peh was an increasing body of Torah Shebaal Peh. As more and more Torah was learned, and more Chidushim, it was added to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Umashay Abba Machlokas. What if there was a Machlokas? How do they decide? There's a debate. They ask the Rav, and what if the Rav didn't know? Went to the Beis Din, right? Oh, very good. The Rav of the majority, go after the majority of? Of these Canaan. How many is Canaan? So in the Bais Rishon 70, you went to Sanhedrin HaGadol, and in the Bais Hasheni, Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and they would decide. Was there ever a machlokas then? It was a machlokas and everything was decided upon. Bais Rishon, everything was decided upon. When there was a machlokas in the Sanhedrin, take a vote, Acharei Rad Mahatos, you go by the majority, decision made, move on.
Never a tie. But what,
if there was a tie, there was a tiebreaker. The Nasi would be the tiebreaker. So they had a way to break the tie. And a decision was made, so there was never a lingering machlokas because there was a proper decision-making process. This is so important throughout Bais Rishon, throughout the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, Shiarei Knesset HaGdola, there was a body to make decisions. Second line in source 29, Umashaya bo machlokas, B'nifzika halacha k'dasara. Any time there was a machlokas, they would make a decision based on the majority and move on. Jump down two lines. Lo hayador shelo yahabot divrei iyun v'chidush. Every generation had more learning, more chidushim. V'chol dor hayaosa divrei kodmal yisof. But based on the prior generation, it was accepted because the decision was made. It wasn't that you'd ask a psak and they said, well, this Rav said this and this Rav said this. They weren't even recording the names of the Rabbanim. Why? Because you make a vote and the decision is held. There was no recording of the minority view. The majority view, move onward. And this is how we continue. And that's how we continue with the Anshei Knesset Agdola. End of the page. Short story, page number 5, where it's in bold. The Acharon, at the end of the Anshei Knesset Agdola, who was the last person left in the Anshei Knesset Agdola? Page 5, at the way end. Who was the last member of the Anshei Knesset Agdola, of the Shiarei Knesset Agdola? What did we say? Shimon HaTzadik, Hayam Shiarei Knesset Agdola. Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. He was the last member of the Anshei Knesset Agdola / Shiarei Knesset Agdola, where it's both the Acharon, Osa HaChabura HaTaora, the last member who Rishon HaChachamim Shenizkru B'Mishnah. He is the first of the Chachamim that are mentioned chronologically in the Mishnah. After the Anshei Knesset Agdola, he was the last member of the Anshei Knesset Agdola, Shiarei Knesset Agdola. Everyone else had passed away. He's the last member of, at least according to the Rambam, of the original crew, the original Rabbanim that were established in Ankenesh. He's the last one left. He's the first person that was quoted in the Mishnah, and very important, he is the transitional period from Nevuah, which existed with the establishment of the Anshei Knesset Agdola, going into Chachamim, into the time of Talmud, and learning without Nevuah, during the balance of the Bayis Sheni. So it says, Shimon HaTzadik, Uhuaya Kohen Gadol Ba'osu Ador. It says, according to the Rambam, that he was the Kohen Gadol in the generation of the establishment of the Bayis Sheni. So according to the Rambam, he was in the original Anshei Knesset Agdola. The Rambam's view is that Ezra was the Kohen Gadol initially. When Ezra passed away, Shimon HaTzadik took over for Ezra. He was the Kohen Gadol for 40 years. And then, with the death of Ezra, the Knesset Hagdola ended and reverted to being the Sanhedrin Hagadol. So that's also the view of the Markeves on Mishnah in source number 31, where it's underlined, V'hinei, Ma'alas HaTzadik V'chachmaston Mefur Semesh Shimon HaTzadik. Everyone knows he was a great tzadik, 40 years, the Kohen Gadol. V'hu Haya Ben Echav Shel Ezra Sofer. He was the nephew of Ezra, according to the Rim Al-Shakur, according to that, he was the nephew of Ezra. Ezra was the Kohen Gadol. Shimon HaTzadik took over afterward. And the Meiri agrees with that. He says, source number 32, where it's in bold, Zman Anshei Knesset Agdola Ma'at Zman. The Anshei Knesset Agdola was not there very long. V'hu B'tchilas Bayit Sheni was there at the time of the Bayit Sheni. Kol Yemei Ezra, the entire life of Ezra, Shei Kohen Gadol, Rishon Bayit Sheni, was the first Kohen Gadol in the time of the Bayit Sheni. V'kol Yemei Shimon HaTzadik, in the entire time of Shimon HaTzadik, who was the Kohen Gadol after Ezra. Okay, now there is a dissenting view that Shimon HaTzadik, it's unclear when exactly Shimon HaTzadik lived. According to the Meiri and Rambam, he was the second Kohen Gadol at the time of Bayit Sheni. There are others who are of the view that Shimon HaTzadik was halfway into the time period of the Bayis Sheni. It's unclear. We don't have clarity as to the historical fact of when Shimon HaTzadik lived. So Rashi, for example, source number 34, says as follows, source number 34, where it's underlined, Shalohaya imayim betchilas habayis b'mei Ezra. He says Shimon HaTzadik was not at the beginning of the Anshei Knesset Agdola. Rav Reuven Margolius is of the view, source 36, Shimon HaTzadik, which underlined, Haya kematayim shana acharei konenus haKnesset Agdola. He was 200 years after the Knesset Agdola was established. So this is something that's unclear on the timeline when Shimon HaTzadik lived. The impact of that is we don't know exactly how long the Knesset Agdola and the Anshei Knesset Agdola lasted. Either a number of decades. I don't know how long Ezra lived once he was established. So I have to find out. But it was 40 years, Shimon HaTzadik. and the time that Ezra lived as the Kohen Gadol, so it's something like that, or it's a couple hundred. I saw an opinion even more than that, that the Knesset Gadola was extant. Now, on this I want to end, just one last point. The first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we mentioned the first part of it, that said, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, Masra li Yeshua, Yeshua les Kenan, les Kenan levim, levim masru la Anche Knesset Gadola. And then, the Anche Knesset Gadola tells us three things. First Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, this is the Masar. Anche Knesset Gadola, Tan Vaisheni, tells us three things. What are the three things? Source number 37. The first of them is, Hevu Misunim Bedin. What does Hevu Misunim Bedin mean? Be delivered in judgment. That's classically how we explain it. A judge is talking to judges on a base team. Careful how you judge. Take your time. Make sure you're going to do a good job. Make the proper inquiries into the litigants before you, because you have to make the correct decision. Now, there are those who explain, many who explain, and this is in the Avos to Rabbi Nasan, that this is talking about, be careful of the Misunim Bedin when you're judging as to what should be included in the Tanakh and what should be excluded in the Tanakh. Be very careful when you're making that decision. Source number 38, this is Avos to Rabbi Nasan, brings that Mishnah. Anche Knesset Gadola said three things. The first of them is Hevi Misunim Bedin. Be very careful when you're judging. Where it's underlined, source 38, it says, Melamed Shiada Mamtin Bedin. You have to be very careful when you're making decisions in Deen. Drop down to the third line where it's underlined, Barishona Hayu Omri Mishlei Vishira Shirim and Koheles. These are three works by Shlomo Melech. Mishlei Shirim 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 Gnuzim Hayu. They were put into Geniza. In other words, they were not to be included in the Tanakh. Shem Hayu Omri Mashalas Ve'ena Min Aktuvim. These are just, this is Mishlei, these are Mashalas, these are not something that should be included in the Ketuvim. They should not be included in the Tanakh. Ve'amdu ve'ganzu osam. And they were put into the Geniza. What's Geniza? They were put away. They were buried. They were put away. We're not going to include in the Tanakh. Ad shebao anche Knesset Gadola upirshu osam. Until the anche Knesset Gadola, during the Bayit Sheni, came and explained to everyone some of the psukim that were disturbing to people in Mishlei, in Koheles, in Shir HaShir, and the Anshei Knesset Gadola explained to them what those psukim mean, and that based on that, the Anshei Knesset Gadola decided that those books would also be included in the Tanakh. So based on that, we're going to conclude today. What we've gone through is discussing the Masorah. We jumped pretty quickly, but we said that at Har Sinai, Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichtav were given both. That's why it's Kikaro Beilech HaDavar Meod. Our focus was Anshei Knesset Gadola, 120 members. Why 120? It should have been 70, because when they came back, Ezra said to have an established and recognized organization, a Knesset, we need to include everyone who should be included, 120. It dwindled down over time until it got back to 70. Anshei Knesset Gadola was very active in making decisions in Klal Yisrael. One of the things I did was canonization of the Tanakh. It's unclear how long they were around, a number of decades, up to 200-300 years. And as we saw, it was their explanations of Shir HaShirim and Koheles and Mishlei actively Misuni Medina. Now we can understand better why that's the first thing they say in Pirkei Avos, is careful when you're judging, because the Avos to Rabbi Nasan and others tells us that was talking about, we have to be very careful when we're deciding what is in Tanakh and what is out of Tanakh, what's going to be included, what's not going to be included. And that was a big decision that was made by the Anshei Knesset Gadola. And here Hashem, we will continue next week. And by the way, this is going to be an interesting thing that we wind up with, talking about Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, that the Torah, they're all considered Torah Shebichtav. How about when we put books on top of the other? Can I put a Navi and Ksuvim on top of a Chumash? Because they're all Torah Shebichtav. Or if the Chumash has to obviously go on top, maybe not so obviously. How about between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? If I have a Navi and a Ksuvim, a Tehillim and a Yeshua, do I have to worry about their order? And this whole question we're going to get into, does this only apply if it is a scroll written by hand, like a Torah scroll, a Nevi'im? Or does it also apply to our printed Svarim as well? So we will cover that next week. Okay, we're out of time, but any questions, I'll tell you about that.